Hey, good evening, Steele.
Good evening, Dave. It's so good to hear your sweet, dulcet voice.
Oh yeah, people love just they just want to sit and listen to me talk. My patients, they can't get enough. They want me to stay in the room and just continue to explain stuff over and over again. They
Yeah.
love it. But good news, Steele. We have a guest with us
Yeah,
this
who was
evening.
that disembodied voice I was hearing, Dave?
The handsome alarm's going off, so it has
Whoa.
to be Jordan Fox.
Oh boy.
The creator of the OTC theme song is here with live music in the studio. That's a first on this show.
That's true, yeah. Maybe we should do that sometime.
Wait, we just did it.
Yeah,
We
I
just
don't know
broke
I
the
guess that's
barrier.
true. Yeah, that's true.
We're not
The
editing
wall's
that
knocked
out.
down. No, it's too good. But still, we have a lot to discuss with Jordan,
Yes.
and
Heavy
he's actually
matters
got
of state.
a big announcement
Yeah.
that he's going to drop on us. But before that, have you been watching some sports ball recently?
Oh, Dave, have I ever? You know, typically I only read about sports. I mostly just read about sports in my life. That's what I do with my life. I don't actually watch sports, but lately I've broken that rule and I have continued to read about sports, but I have also watched a few minutes of sporting events live. And one of the things that I've been watching lately, the NBA playoffs, Dave and Jordan.
Yes.
Oh, wow,
Basketball
yeah.
at its
Lots
highest
going on
level.
there.
Everything is going on there, Jordan. But the number one thing that's going on in the NBA playoffs is a man from New Zealand named Steven Adams. Have either of you guys seen Steven Adams?
I haven't seen him play.
Doesn't matter. Have you seen him?
Yeah, I've seen him, yeah.
Oh, then you know why he's like the thing that's happening this year in the NBA
Yeah.
playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
We were watching a Thunder game. Well, my wife was like just vaguely in the room, and they did a close up of Steven Adams, and she's like, "Why does he look like that? What is going on?" And I told her just everything's going right. And then I had to explain not only that, not only does he look like that, but he's 7 feet tall. He's gigantic.
He has like pretty amazing hair. He often pulls it with like a little samurai top knot, but lets it kind of hang in a waterfall down to his shoulders. He's grown like a, I can only describe it as like a 19th century saloon proprietor's mustache. He looks a bit like Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
And
I think he curls the ends a little bit. Like he does that a little bit.
Yeah,
there's a little wax on there.
just enough.
Yeah, he
He
just wants you to
seems
know.
hilarious and just probably the most badass NBA player. Doesn't care about anything. He's got like a tattoo sleeve, and he's just a bruiser. He goes at people. He's super annoying. He's like the modern day Bill Laimbeer a little bit, but more awesome.
Yeah, his first year in the league, like everybody threw a punch at him. It didn't matter who he was playing, just everyone wanted to punch Steven Adams.
He's been
And
punched by Nate Robinson. He was elbowed in the head by Vince Carter. Jordan Hamilton punched him. Larry Sanders elbowed him. Zach Randolph punched him in the jaw and was suspended for a game seven. Nick Young was ejected for throwing a forearm into his throat this year.
my gosh.
It's amazing. He is an NBA legend and the most amazing looking professional athlete I have ever seen. I love it.
And despite all that, like Bill Laimbeer, I still carry like this angry like dislike towards. But Steven Adams, I just think he's great. I like him. I don't know how he's generally seen throughout like the internets and throughout the NBA community, but I really like Steven Adams.
Yeah. So that's something to check out. If you're not yet on the fence, if you are on the fence with sports ball and want to know whether basketball is worth it, yes it is, and Steven Adams will help bring you along and introduce you to the gospel of NBA.
Second huge sports ball story. This is amazing.
Mind-blowing.
Leicester City. Jordan, do you even know what that means, Leicester City? Do you know what
I
we're
know
talking
what that
about?
means. I know what that means a
It is a
little bit,
penal
yeah.
camp for sex offenders.
I know that they were awful. And now I guess they're not awful.
Yeah.
No, they've just won the best soccer. Well, let's just it's football,
Put our
guys.
cards on the table. Football.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
The greatest
footy.
football league in the world, Leicester City just won. This city is not far from Skegness.
They won the Premier League, right?
Yes. The Premier League.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the first time in their 120-something year history, came in first. Like 7 years ago, they were in the third division. They're just an average. The town has like 300. The town is the size of Tulsa. Yeah.
So they went from the third division up to the Premier Division and won it in 7 years.
Yes.
That's nuts.
Yes. So here's the thing, though, Jordan. The power, the reason why this has happened has to do with, it's deep in English history. Richard III. Do you know about this story?
I don't know which story you're telling.
You're going to love it. Richard III, the hunchback king, he was killed in battle. My kingdom for a horse, you know? Uh-huh. And he was buried, and no one knew where he was buried until...
Okay.
They dug up a parking lot in Leicester and found the hunchback bones of who they thought was Richard III. They tested it. It is Richard III. We found Richard III, the former king of England. And so they decided he needed to be reburied. At the time that he was reburied, Leicester City was in last place in the Premier League. They were in danger of relegation. There were 9 games left in the season.
Right.
They rebury him. They won 7 of the 9 to finish safely. They finish in 14th place.
The ghost and everybody's of Richard like, III.
Yeah, they're like, okay, cool. Thanks, Richard III. You gave him a boost. You helped him survive. In the offseason, however, the Leicester City manager was fired when 3 of his players filmed themselves saying racist things while conducting like a sex tour of Thailand.
Oh, okay. I think I heard about that.
One of the players was the manager's son, so he got the axe. The manager is the owner of the team is a Thai billionaire, so he was like, not cool.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, great. The manager got fired, and we narrowly avoided relegation last year. This year they started off, they won their first game. Everybody's like, oh, nice job. They won their second game. They just kept winning. They have lost 3 times the whole season.
That's nuts.
They went from nowhere to running away as the champions of the English Premier League.
So what was this, a money ball situation? Was this just everybody's playing the best they can?
Yes.
They just got a bunch of people that nobody knew and worked together.
It's simple. Occam's razor says, simplest explanation, Richard III.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
I thought you were going to say they scored more goals than the other team each time.
No, it's the GOAT. Clearly, the Richard III's placated ghost has supernatural powers, and he has willed Leicester City to the EPL championship. It's not a difficult thing to grasp.
I can buy that.
Yes.
I was reading about these guys today, and I don't know if it's ever happened in the history, but it's like insane. They shot the soccer ball fewer times than their opponents did this season.
Yes.
Like, no one that wins the premiership has less shots on goal than their opponents. It's insane. It's ridiculous.
They're amazing. They're just the best.
What are the prognosticators? So now, if I understand correctly, this means they get to move to the Champions League and play there. Is that correct?
That's correct. They're going to be in the Champions League next year for the first time ever.
What do people think is going to happen there? Are they going to?
Well, most likely, big wealthy teams are going to buy their 3 or 4 best players, and then who knows what's going to happen next year.
Yeah,
but
enjoy
it while it lasts, you know?
Right.
It's an incredible story.
That's amazing, yeah.
Daniel LaRusso won the tournament in Karate Kid. We didn't need a Karate Kid 2 or 3.
No.
They gave it to us. They weren't any good. All we need is this one time for Leicester City, and I love it. Great sports ball moment.
Yeah.
Their manager is famous for saying dilly ding, dilly dong. In a press conference this year?
Uh-huh.
To describe the sound of a bell. That's what he uses to motivate his players. He's Italian.
Okay, that sounds good.
So just, next time you can, work it in a small talk. Just be like, dilly ding, dilly dong, do I hear a bell?
Yeah. I'll just use that in court.
This is one last amazing story. The defense for Leicester City was doing okay, but the coach said, hey, if you can get a shutout this next game. And so that they did anything for a pizza party.
Yeah.
They nailed it, had a pizza party. The role has not stopped since.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so good.
Motivator.
They're like most famous players, a guy named Jamie Vardy. He was like playing outside of the professional leagues, like in an amateur team, like 4 or 5 years ago. He was arrested for assault and spent a bit of time with an ankle bracelet on for assault. But he's also famous because several years ago, he tweeted this really aggressive message, and it was "chat shit, get banged." And it's become like this huge meme among like English street kids. Like, if you talk shit, you're going to get beat up. So everybody's like, "chat shit, get banged." That's like the new saying in England, thanks to Jamie Vardy. And that's he got great. Suspended in their second to last game. But when they were watching the game that could decide whether they would become champions a couple games early, he invited all the players over to his house. And there's this other big meme that went around the internet. Jamie Vardy's having a party. And they got the result they needed. And the team just went crazy. And there's like this viral video of everybody dancing around at Jamie Vardy's house. It's the best.
That's great. That's great.
So it's an incredible, like 5,000-1 odds at the start of the season. Incredibly long odds, and they just did it. It's a remarkable story.
So, guys, I'm sorry. We have to move on.
Okay.
We gotta focus on what we're here for. We're going to discuss some presidential topics, and then, of course, some Unchained Melodies and some book wisdom. But right now, there's a current presidential campaign going on. And I think we're just going to run through a couple quick hit points about it that are kind of important.
There was some big news tonight, though, Dave.
Oh yeah, what happened?
You know, the night we're recording this, the Indiana just had its primary, and Senator Ted Cruz has suspended his campaign.
Wow,
it's so upsetting. He was clearly the most human of all the candidates.
He was the one, definitely, I was sure, was not a shape-shifting alien lizard in human clothes.
There's no way he was just a lizard wearing people skin. That was just not a thing for Ted Cruz.
No, you know, neither was he a robot from the future sent to destroy us. There's no way.
He is only one being, Ted Cruz, not several.
Yeah, most definitely.
He clearly has a navel. He was birthed through a woman's birth canal. A human woman, yes, clearly.
And his father was also a human male.
An adult human male, even.
Yeah, an adult human male.
So this is upsetting.
With all requisite and relevant parts.
Whose origin was on the planet Earth, by the way.
Oh, so this leads us to, we have Trump now. He's doing it, huh? A while ago, Steele, we talked about greatest presidential hair of all time.
Yes.
Will he make the rankings, do you think, if he succeeds in becoming president?
Well, the thing that's exciting about it is presidential terms last 4 years. I don't know if anybody's seen the pictures of President Obama when he took office and President Obama now. He's aged in the 7 to 8 years that he's been in office. And I can only imagine the kind of toll that being the leader of the free world might take on the Donald's hair. I think it's going to be pretty – the potentials are pretty spectacular.
I think he's up there already. Even though he's not president, his hair is highly ranked.
It's the DuckTales look.
I'm working on doing it myself. Got to get the front long enough, and then we can get this going. I'm excited.
The thing that's upsetting about his hair is that he's invested all that money in an anti-gravity device and then just hogs it and uses it only for his own hair and refuses to share that technology with the rest of us. Of all the things he's done, that might be the thing I'm most upset about.
Okay, here's a question actually on the subject of Donald Trump. If you had to recommend a facial hairstyle for Donald Trump, what do you think he'd look best with? Or what should he... I mean, I'm just trying to imagine that. That'd be amazing.
Chin strap.
I think at this point, goatee just kind of says douche to me. So I think it would just fit with the rest of his personality.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he have a goatee?
Like a David Brent style goatee. Ricky Gervais. Okay.
Yeah, and he needs to start wearing a gold chain on the outside of his tie.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
We all lived together in college, but of all the candidates still in the race, who would you most have wanted to be college roommates with?
That's a good question.
Jeez, oh, it's still in the race because Ted Cruz just dropped out today. That puts a damper on me answering this question.
You know, his college roommate has had a lot of exciting things to say about how great it was living with him in college.
No, but I think you got to go with Bernie Sanders, right? You guys you've heard his amazing folk album. I can just imagine some playing guitar with that guy.
Oh yeah,
you're never gonna get sleep. He's keeping you up talking about the issues. He's always letting homeless people sleep in their room, saying they're activists.
He's always trying to get you to go to a rally. Come on, let's go.
He definitely doesn't own socks.
Which one do you think would eat the most of their roommate's food? Would just take it without even like thinking about it. They're just eating your food.
That's an obvious one. Yeah. He's not in the race anymore, but it's Chris Christie.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, come on, guys. The fat joke.
No, it's the New Jersey joke.
It's just the worst place. New Jersey's just the worst.
Of all the people who would eat all of my cherry chocolate chunk ice cream, he's the person I could see doing that. The most likely.
But the thing is, I don't think you'd hate him for it. You'd love him for it. He'd be like the Howard of the house.
Of course. Yeah, but Howard never ate my food.
That you know of.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, which one is the most likely to put an empty box of granola bars back in the cabinet?
Also Bernie Sanders. Tax the hell out of your granola.
It's got to be Ted Cruz. You know he put the box back. Except he's out of the race. So sad.
Here's one of my favorite questions, actually. Which one of them who probably smells the worst up close?
Oh, man. It's got to be Cruz. According to his college roommate, it's Cruz. Maybe his hygiene's improved since then, I hope. Well, I wonder if Bernie smells like an old guy.
I don't see how he couldn't. I really don't.
The old guy that smells kind of endearing, guys. That's okay.
You know he's not wearing a very high-powered deodorant as well. just FYI.
He's probably using crystals.
If anything. Toms of Maine or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, Toms.
Who would you most like to just go to a meal with? For me, who would I want to just have a cheeseburger with? What do you guys think?
If you go with Hillary, she's going to tell you it's the best cheeseburger she's ever had, and it was great, and thank you for taking me there.
Yeah, she'll just make you feel like $1 million.
So apparently she'll have hot sauce on hand.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, really?
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, she's like legit into hot sauce. It wasn't just to appeal to African-American voters. I'm into that. No, I think for me, I'd pick Ben Carson. He's totally unfit to be the president of the United States, but kind of like a daffy, lovable kind of guy. He seems really compelling in his own strange way.
And I love how all of his stories, he kind of stretches the truth a little bit, and that just makes it more fun.
Yeah, he'd be a great cheeseburger buddy.
Well, it'd be fun to talk about like ancient aliens and stuff like that with him.
And brain surgery. You know he's got good stories. Surgery.
Yeah, that's probably. I'm sure he does. He has done some amazing things with brain surgery, which is kind of overshadowed by some of the other things that he said. Those are legitimate, like really, and he's black, you know, and went to medical school and did all those things.
Black people are super fun to eat with. Is that what you're saying, Jordan?
What? No, I'm just saying that he has a very compelling life story.
Oh, okay.
And he's done a lot of really amazing things.
All right.
But that's been overshadowed by some of the crazy stuff that he said.
It's true.
Or done. Or kind of like the coolest things that happened.
Yeah. How about you, Dave? Who would you go eat a burger with?
I like the idea of eating a burger with someone that's insane. That's pretty fun. I'm just moving towards Chris Christie. I feel like he'd be just a really companionable guy. We could talk about our negative experiences in New Jersey together. There's no way he likes New Jersey. There's no way he likes
it. I was thinking you might be you might say Rand Paul.
You guys could talk about would have, but that's 4 years ago, guys.
You guys could talk about hair product. I think he uses surf wax or whatever
surf
that's
hair.
Called. Surf hair.
It's off the market. I'm down to my last bottle still. I don't know what I'm gonna do when it runs out.
eBay.
That's how I got my last case. I don't know what to do now. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're going to start losing clientele at the nursing station.
So I think we're all genuinely excited for this election just for it's so weird. It's really entertaining. I'm not excited for any of these candidates really at this point. But yeah, I think we've expended enough time and energy on it.
I also just want, okay, yeah, we probably have.
Do you have one more you want to do?
I wanted to know most physically dangerous. I don't know whose idea it was to ask this question, but I spent probably a good half an hour like weighing the various pros and cons of different candidates, thinking about it, like age. I was like, is this an age speed matrix? Is this like sneaky power? Is this just like most tenacious, most violent or brutal? I didn't know what the right answer was, but I really gave it a lot of thought.
Well, I think
what was your answer?
Carly Fiorina. I see the old bloodlust in her eyes. Like I see.
Oh boy.
She to survive as a female executive in a cutthroat technology industry, she seems physically fit too. I think she could cause some damage. That hand grappling with Ted Cruz when they were trying to raise hands together, that was like actually like Krav Maga style in there.
Are you thinking she would kind of fight dirty? Like with the crotch punch and the biting and stuff. And
I don't know. I think it's just straight up physical domination. It's just she seems like she could hold her own with like an American gladiator. Like if they did the American gladiator politician style, she would just triumph.
Wow,
that's my opinion.
That would be an amazing show, by the way. Why can't we pick our president through that show?
Ice for president.
Nitro.
Oh man, it's only a matter of time before they take everybody that ran and didn't win and put them all in a house together, and then they vote to eliminate each other off.
How about you? Most physically dangerous?
I put no thought into this question, so I don't have a good answer. Jordan, anything?
Yeah, I think John McAfee is trying to get the Libertarian nomination, run for the Libertarian Party, and he's very dangerous. He may have already
killed his neighbor in Belize or whatever.
Yeah, he may or may not have already committed murder. So he's definitely scary dude, and he's way into fitness and stuff. I think he's on steroids or whatever. I don't know, but maybe not.
Also, best hair. He's got like a leopard-style haircut. Looks like Dennis Rodman circa 90-whatever.
Yeah, he's definitely an eccentric guy. Very strange.
Can we close it down now, Steele?
Yeah, thanks. That's it. I'm good.
I'm good, too. Well, let's go on. We've got two more segments to do. And, of course, we're doing a very special political segment. We took the presidential candidates, and we each picked a song for him that we felt just really applies to the candidate.
Dave, the political edition of Unchained Melodies may not be our finest tunes, but I think they're going to move the heartstrings and increase voter turnout this year.
That's great. Get out the vote. Everybody should vote.
That's really what it's all about. We just want to motivate political activity. So what do you got for us, Stillman?
I want to start with the leading Democratic Party candidate, the very experienced Hillary Clinton. We haven't talked about her much on the podcast tonight, but she has a deep taste in music. She goes back to the classic rock artists of her childhood, and she's also been a big backer of powerful female artists, as you might imagine, women who are making it in a male-dominated industry. And recently she spoke out controversially, not really controversial, in favor of Beyonce, the most loved woman probably in America. And so the song that we're going to play for Hillary, Beyonce's Single Ladies, which is also currently one of Cedar's top three favorite songs.
That's great.
Call me, don't give him any attention. Just cry my tears.
Just a really pleasing thing to do is just imagine Hillary dancing to that song. It's going to bring a smile to your face.
It already has.
Oh, man.
John Kasich. I think he's even still running. It's unclear.
I have a coworker who voted for him in Wisconsin.
Wow. Yeah, like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon here. We're close to him.
Didn't he win Wisconsin?
No, Ted Cruz did.
Ted Cruz did? Oh.
Yeah.
Ted. So Kasich, I'm not sure you guys are aware of this. Huge Pink Floyd fan.
that's hilarious. Hey, funny thing too about that is G.E. Smith was part of the band for Roger Waters' The Wall tour recently.
Jeez.
Played bass and guitar for him.
So there's another endorsement. Kasich just endorsed Jordan in 2020 for G.E. Smith connection.
That's right.
No, I can't get enough G.E. Smith tonight. Let's just scrap this and play anything G.E. Smith has done. It's so good.
Dude, I tell you, I love G.E. Smith. He's great.
All right, Dave. So Kasich's into Pink Floyd. Tell us more.
Yeah, he loves Floyd. Greatest concert he's ever seen. Roger Waters' The Wall tour with G.E. Smith featured prominently on guitar and bass. Mm-hmm. Loves him. So I picked just a terrific song off the album, Pink Floyd, called Mother.
Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls?
Just rewind it.
Yeah.
Mother, will they put me in the vibrant mind? Is it just a waste of time?
It probably is, John. Probably is.
You have excellent fading on that one. You're welcome.
it applies to everybody in this presidential campaign, not just John.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful song. I think every candidate needs to listen to it and think about its message.
All right, Jordan, who do you got? What do you got?
Okay, so I'll do for Bernie. Bernie Sanders bears a striking resemblance to a guitar player I love named Bill Frisell. If you Google pictures of Bill Frisell and then look up pictures of Bernie Sanders, they're like almost like doppelgangers.
Oh, Jordan, when you posted that image, I literally thought it was an image of Bernie Sanders when he was recording the folk album.
Yeah.
I had to look at it for a while before I realized, wait, that's not him. I really thought it was.
But so I thought it'd be funny. The song has nothing to do with Bernie Sanders other than it's by Bill Frisell and they sort of look like each other. So this is his cover of the Beach Boys' Surfer Girl.
Thank you.
That's lovely, Jordan.
Yeah, I love the steel guitar on that. It just goes so well with Bill Frisell's. He has such a clear electric guitar tone. It's so clear, and the way he and the steel guitar player work with each other on that track is massive. It's just gorgeous. I love it. I'm kind of addicted to steel guitar in non-country music contexts. It's just such a hauntingly beautiful sound. We'll have to do one from Daniel Lanois's pedal steel album sometime. He's U2's producer. It's awesome. Someday. That, we can cut that out. Sorry.
Deep Cuts with Jordan Fox.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of things that go together really, really well, I'm going to bring up Marco Rubio. And a little known fact about Marco Rubio, he is very much a fan of gangster rap. Top three, he loves hip hop. Top three favorite songs of all time, NWA's Straight Outta Compton. This is literally true. Tupac and the Outlaws' Killuminati. And the song I'm about to play tonight, of this artist, he said famously, this is the only guy out there saying like real, I'm not quoting it, but he said something like, this is the only guy out there that's for real saying really serious stuff about what it's like to grow up in a single parent household. This guy is the truth for Marco Rubio. It is the legendary Michigan rapper Eminem, and the song is Lose Yourself.
Opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted. One moment that you captured.
Perfect, right?
Just let it slip. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. He's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop palms. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit, he choked, he's so mad, but he won't give up daddies. He knows he won't have it, he knows his whole back to these ropes. It don't matter, he's dope, he knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home. That's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't lose itself in the music. The moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a
Doesn't that song take on a whole new layer of pathos if you consider the lyrics about Marco Rubio's now failed presidential campaign?
Oh, man.
It was too sad. I was enjoying the song, but then I felt so sad for Marco.
Pick us up a level, Dave. Give us something that isn't going to make us feel so sad.
There's only one thing that can really bring true joy in this life, and that is country music. Ted Cruz, I dedicate this to him, even though he's out of the race. It's his favorite music since he saw how the country music industry supported America after 9/11. He won't listen to anything else. And if there's one song that I think encapsulates country music, it's Tim McGraw's Live Like You Are Dying.
I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me.
Again, perfect.
A moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you.
I dedicate that to Ted, and I hope that he can just follow the message of that song and just live like he's dying. Just put it all out there.
Awesome.
Jordan, you're going to take us out. There's only one Canadian I can think of that's left.
Oh, man. It's a hard choice. Trump, Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So apparently at one point he loved Neil Young.
Yes.
But no longer. Yeah, let's do the Neil Young one. I like old. This is a Neil Young old man, which is a funny one just because of what the song's about and how Trump is. It just doesn't go together, but that's okay.
My life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Just a point of clarification on that song. It's addressed to an old man. He's asking him to take a look at his life, and then he says in the next line, I need a lot of love the whole day through. Is he, like, hitting on an old man? Is that the premise of the song?
I don't think so.
Is this like an Aqualung in reverse?
No. I'm a lot like you were.
Yeah, he's like, hey, we have a lot in common. I need to love the whole day through. He's a gold digger.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I just think it's funny because the song is about introspection, you know?
Yeah.
Introspection. I don't know if that's something Trump's ever done.
He's not known for it, that's for sure.
Not something he's known for.
We're going to be so sick of winning.
We can all just say that we're glad he's here. We're glad he's doing what he's doing. And I hope that we can make America great again.
Dave, man, you've been posting stuff about Trump on my Facebook, and I think I think some of my friends are like seriously worried and like not really talking to me and afraid to comment on it because like they don't know that there's irony involved. It's awesome.
I'm gonna start just posting Trump on your Facebook feed all the time. Like we're making progress. Steele, Cruz is out.
Yeah, I'm going to get blacklisted here in Madison here pretty soon.
So, guys, I'm going to close this down with some book wisdom.
Is it from The Art of the Deal?
The problem with that book is I couldn't narrow it down to one passage. So
we've already gone a little over time.
Podcast where I'm just going to read the entire book to you guys. But we'll put that out next week. But we've been talking about presidents and leadership. No one shows leadership like a Stark. We're talking Game of Thrones. These guys are excellent leaders. These guys inspire me. I would follow a Stark, and I would even follow a Stark's bastard son. And I'm going to share just a short passage from A Dance with Dragons by the fantasy master George R.R. Martin. Jon Snow is a leader in charge of the wall at this point. Sorry, spoiler alert. And but someone doesn't want to take his orders, so Jon's ordered this man to be hung. So this is this man talking. "If the boy thinks that he can frighten me, he is mistaken," they heard Lord Janos said. "He would not dare to hang me. Janos Slynt has friends, important friends, you'll see." The wind whipped away the rest of his words. "This is wrong," John thought. "Stop." Emmett turned back, frowning. "My lord, I will not hang him," said John. "Bring him here." "Oh, Seven, save us," he heard Bowen Marsh cry out. The smile that Lord Janos Slynt smiled then had all the sweetness of rancid butter until John said, "Ed, fetch me a block," and unsheathed Longclaw, his sword. By the time a suitable chopping block was found, Lord Janos had retreated into the wench cave, but Iron Emmett went in and after him, and Dragon Slint cried as Emmett half shoved and half pulled him across the yard. "Unham me, you cannot. When Tywin Lannister hears this, you all will rue." Emmett kicked his legs out from under him. Dolores Ed planted a foot on the back to keep him on his knees as Emmett shoved the block beneath his head. "This will go easier if you stay still," John promised him. "Move to avoid the cut, and you will still die, but your dying will be uglier. Stretch out your neck, my lord." The pale morning sunlight ran up and down his blade as John clasped the hilt of the bastard sword with hands and raised it high. "If you have any last words, now is the time to speak them," he said, expecting one last curse. Janos Slynt twisted his neck around to stare up at him. "Please, my lord, mercy. I'll go, I will, I'll..." "No," thought John. "You close that door." Longclaw descended. "Can I have his boots?" asked Owen the Oaf, as Janos Slynt's head went rolling across the muddy ground. They're almost new, those boots, lined with fur. John glanced back at Stannis. For an instant, their eyes met. Then the king nodded and went back inside his tower.
Now, Dave, that's a piece of book wisdom that I can really wrap my cold heart around.
Was it dark enough for you still?
I'm just disappointed, Dave. Your true and rightful king is Stannis. I don't know why you're dallying with these Stark boys.
I'm not saying that I don't appreciate Stannis, but Starks, these guys are that's where my loyalty is. That's my heart.
Okay.
Even if they all die, that's okay. I still love them. They're number one.
Okay. Well, we've covered it all.
Just kidding. What is it that Ned Stark says? If you the one that you, what does he say?
You issue pass the sentence, you swing the blade or whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah. If you condemn a man to die, you handle him if you have any amount of honor. So I hope Donald Trump remembers that.
Oh, you guys are the best. Thanks for doing this. I'm glad we're still friends.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Off the chain. It's off the chain. Welcome to
Dave, I think I might have buried penis syndrome.
Oh, yeah?
Well, stop shoving it in. Stop trying to push it back in.
Oh, okay. Well, then, problem solved.
Let it hang. I should have mentioned something about bicycles. You got to air it out of the back of cans of peas.